Turtles in a Half Shell. Turtle power.
Look at you.
Yeah, they're coming out with a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie called The Last Ronin, and it's going to be rated R.
Mm.
It's a bloody revenge flick with the last surviving turtle seeking vengeance after the others are killed.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, if there's going to be a death of a couple of the turtles, then the other ones are obviously going to be very upset. These revenge flicks, man, you know, I'm not huge on them, the Ronin flicks, but it seems to be like there's always a lot of carnage.
I don't like it. It bothers me. Why are we taking, like, what for the most part are children's cartoons, right, that defined an entire generation and generations to come?
I mean, come on. You're talking about them like they were peanuts.
Well,
you know, I mean, they were a cartoon that was popular. They didn't define a generation.
I think if you were like between the ages of like 30 and 40 right now, you were really into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when you were growing up.
Hmm.
And I don't know. I think the reason why they're doing it is because they realize that in its heyday, those people are now older and are going to go see this movie. But I just don't understand why. Why do we have to make everything R-rated that was like an animated cartoon that was G for all kids?
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, a Genesis flick, which tells the story, but it sounds like this is more like kind of the last story. It's the payoff for those, right? I mean, they don't want to see another regurgitated remake of a story that they love. They don't want to see it ruined, basically, so that it's, you know, acceptable for all. So if you stick an R-rated, you know, rating on it, you can get more in depth with the characters. You can go to a darker, grittier type film.
No, all those poor kids that don't understand. They're going to be like, but I want to go see the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. And you'll be like, sorry, only daddy's going.
That's
Friday.
Right. Leave your kids at home, I guess.
So I was trying to think about it. I'm like, what animated cartoons, what animated shows from when you were growing up should be turned into R-rated movies and which ones shouldn't?
I'm just going to say that Voltron, but not the Voltron with the thousand cars and the trucks and all that stuff. I like the Voltron with the lions, the tigers, if you will. They were awesome. You know, here's the thing about lions, Anna. They get hungry. Sooner or later, you're going to have to feed them lions.
So you're saying that that one should be an R-rated movie.
Right, right. I mean, have you ever seen a lion eat? It's messy. It's gory.
I was thinking about My Little Ponies. Like, My Little Pony, even though I loved it, I think that it already is R-rated in a lot of ways. I mean, when you see all these Comic-Con
that, right?
people.
You're not going to explain this.
I mean, it gets dirty and gritty sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll let people Google search that on their own.
Mm-hmm. But you know what should never be turned into an R-rated movie? How about like Dora the Explorer? Like, I want Dora to stay young and pure with her cousin Diego going on adventures forever.
But she could teach everybody to swear in Spanish.
No, I don't want that. You want to turn somebody into an R-rated movie? Peppa Pig. She's all the way there. She's already basically swearing. At this point, most parents can't stand Peppa Pig anyway because she's so like snotty.
She's snarky.
Mm-hmm.
That's English.
6. That's how many dumb arguments you have every weekend. The national average anyway, because that's when you spend the most time with your friends and family. Now, who had the dumbest argument over the weekend? Raven, producer John, producer Sean, we're going to decide. Sean, here's the argument you had with your girlfriend, Rachel.
You do the dishes and you do the laundry very well, like exceedingly well. I can't do the dishes or the laundry like you can.
It's apparently so.
But it's apparent that you cannot vacuum.
You cannot vacuum.
You know, I love Rachel, but she's very much the you missed a spot kind of person.
Oh.
You know, so yeah. I vacuumed the whole house and I miss one little spot. Didn't go over it twice, went over it once, and it's, why'd you miss this spot, Sean?
Yeah. I mean, like, listen, if you put forth enough effort, I'm with you. Like, give me some grace on the one thing that's been forgotten or the place.
But I like how she immediately points out all the good things. Like, that is a good mom right there. Because she knew. She had to give you the sandwich. She had to give you the sandwich. She's like, you're great at washing dishes. You're great at that. But you can't vacuum.
That's an open-faced sandwich. She left it on the bed. I feel like that's not. I heard three chores. And out of those three, two of them you do well. That feels like a win for you.
Yeah. And again, like you said, left it on the bed. Right.
Thank
so at
you.
The end, build me back up.
My husband was so excited. He was like, you know how you always record me for our dumb arguments? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, take out the phone. And I was like, oh, here we go.
Oh.
You threw away a shirt in the bathroom garbage can.
Yeah, it's a garbage. What's the problem?
It's a small garbage pail, and it takes up more than the size of the can.
Yeah, but it's all going in the same place. What's the difference if I just threw it in there and then the garbage comes out later, or if I bring it downstairs and put it in the big garbage? It all goes to the same garbage in the sky.
Just take it downstairs and throw it away in the regular garbage to start with, because then there's no room for anything else in that small garbage pail in the bathroom.
I gotta say, I agree with him
100%. What's wrong with you?
Paul has thoughts on this, huh?
No, he has so many garbage rules.
Yeah,
he has more garbage rules than any grown man should have in their entire life. Like, I can't put certain things in the garbage. I can't, if I have a wrapper in the car, I can't throw it in the garbage can outside. Like, it has to be bagged separately and then go into the large garbage.
It'll float away.
My gosh. Okay. There's so many garbage rules in my house.
Well, that's weird, but let's not confuse the issue. We're talking about one thing and one thing only here, right. And there are certain things that go in the bathroom garbage that don't go in the regular garbage, and there's more importantly things that go in the regular garbage that certainly do not go in the bathroom garbage, and a shirt is one of them.
But I'm going to bring it downstairs after. Anyway.
My point is that if you're going to do that, then you knew what you were doing. You were overfilling the bathroom garbage, and then you were walking away from it. I mean, you should have brought it down there right at that first moment.
Now, the bigger issue is, and I didn't want to get into it, is that he uses the word pail. He calls, the lunch boxes, he calls it their lunch pail.
Yeah.
And he calls the garbage,
that is
like,
funny,
the cans, he calls it, the garbage pail. And I don't know why, but it makes me crazy.
Feels like you keep bringing up other weird stuff he does to distract from the weird thing that you did, Anna.
All right.
Deflecting.
John.
There's popcorn. How do you eat it?
One piece at a time, like a civilized human.
Nobody eats. It's too small. You can't eat it one piece at a time. You're going to eat the popcorn flat. It's going to take you 2 hours to eat a bag of popcorn.
And what does the couch look like after you shovel it all into your face? Afterwards, you have to clean up, right?
She's probably right.
I'm only eating one kernel at a time if I'm counting calories, which is never a thing that's happened in my life.
I was going to say, you've never in your life eaten one kernel at a time.
And if I watch my wife do it that way, it looks painful.
You know when you get the popcorn out of the microwave and it's warm and it's butter and you feel that warmth on the bottom of the bag and it's great and everything like that? That goes away in 5 minutes. So if you haven't eaten all that popcorn in 5 minutes, the second half of that bag is just stale, cold popcorn. That's terrible.
The one time it's appropriate to eat one kernel at a time is if you throw it up in the air and try to catch it with your mouth.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
That's fair.
The couch would be a mess. Yeah.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Observations of things that drive you crazy. What are they? 1-800-330-9999. Mike, that's all I need to know about you.
If you ignore all the warning lights inside your car, that's all I need to know about you. My wife had her lights on for 2 months before she told me it almost wrecked the engine.
I had a light on one time. It was a month. And I was just waiting. I had an appointment. But it had been yellow that whole time. And I figured yellow is okay, here I'm at. You know, it's like waving at you from a distance. And then went red one day. And then in the course of about 6 miles, it went to blinking red.
Mm.
And then the car exploded on the side of the road.
I remember that. We talked about this recently on the air. People go years with their check engine lights and they just accept that that's how it rolls.
I mean, I think that was more common on older cars, right? I think the 90s, the 2000s, the warning lights were kind of more of a suggestion. Now when your warning light comes on, if your car is built any time past, I don't know, 2016, 17, 18, it's telling you something.
But, Mike, I will be honest that if I did not tell my husband that something was wrong with the car when I knew something was wrong with the car, he would be like you. He would be very upset. Mm. He'd be like, what do you mean? Why didn't you tell me? Or anything, yeah.
Hey, Tracy, that's all I need to know about you. What's happening?
When you're at a stop sign, you don't really stop. You just make it pretend you stop and you go, and then the next car goes behind you, and you're looking over there, and you're waiting for your turn.
Yeah, when other people aren't following the four-way stop rules, it definitely can be frustrating.
I don't like when somebody cuts in front of me.
Mm.
It's like, you didn't see, did you see four cars go? Because I don't think it's your turn. I think the car in front of you just went.
You know what
exactly.
I don't like?
Exactly.
When somebody pulls up, right, and they're clearly the first one, and then the other two, it's super close, but nobody's going to give each other the space, right?
Yeah.
If it's that close and you don't know, just have the person that's to the right of the person that just went go.
Oh, that sounded really complicated. I just do the wave. Everybody go. Everybody go. Come on,
no,
everybody.
No, you can't
wave.
All
just
go.
Yes, everybody wave. Just go. Just go. Come
you
on.
Can't all go at once.
We're all
going to
survive
everybody.
This. We're going
to
survive it. Let's go.
I don't know. Hey, LB, that's all I need to know about you.
If you complain about your weight every single day, but you don't go to the gym or do anything about it, like eat a salad, that's all I need to know about you.
This is so tough because anybody says this around you, we're the only people you can talk to about this. That's right. You can call us, but you can't call anybody else. You can't call them out on it when they say it right there, because then you're the bad guy. You're body shaming.
There's some people that you can have that conversation with.
That's delicate, man.
It depends on who that person is. I feel like nobody talks about weight as much as they used to. I used to feel like people were obsessed for years, and I think it's somewhat better now.
I don't know, I'm just tired of talking about it. Right.
Maybe that's it, too.
Maybe you're paying less attention.
Yeah.
I mean, people are talking to you less about it, which is pretty good, but I feel like people are still obsessed with it, right?
There's still, like, some friends, and I mean, like, Danielle, my best friend, where we'll start our conversation talking about everything we ate that day. She'll be like, you want to know what I ate today? And then she'll rattle off the whole list. I'll be like, you want to hear what I ate? And I'll go through the whole list. It's like how we start every conversation.
It kind of rips the Band-Aid off. That way there's no...
Yeah. And then we talk about how we're going to be better tomorrow. Those are the things you can only do with your best friend, I think. It is tax day, one of the biggest trending things of the day. The average person spends 8 hours stressing about them instead of actually doing them. I think it sounds about right.
I mean, it's really straightforward if you're not itemizing. And pretty much, you know, with the new tax laws, unless you own a business, you're really not doing that. So it takes mere moments if you're doing it. So the stress wouldn't make sense in that regard. If you've got more complicated taxes, though, I get it. I mean, I've been pushing around. I'm about... I don't know, 3/4 of the way through with mine, Anna, and I've been pushing around that box on the dining room table, taking it off and on that table, depending on who's coming over, for the past 2.5 weeks.
Right.
I got to get it done.
It says 47% of us procrastinate or delay doing our taxes. Mm-hmm. I know my husband is one of them, because I don't know anything about... I mean, I'll be honest. My husband, that's his job. Like, I don't know what's going on. So he'll start, like, in January. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know what's coming up. We gotta get the time. And it's the worst feeling because I can't make a financial decision on anything we do until today. Until it's over.
Right.
So like I can't plan a vacation. I can't buy a new shirt. I can't do a thing until all the numbers and everything. And then last night I knew that he had just about finished because he said, where are the stamps? And I was like, all right, it's done.
I had to do an extension this time. That's the first time I've ever done that. And I've got like that financial OCD when it comes to my taxes. So it's really bothering me, even though it makes no difference whatsoever. My appointment is for next Monday. My wife is like, it's 7 days.
Yeah.
It's 7 days. She's like, it's not a big deal.
Well,
I feel like it's terrible. It's crushing me.
So I hope that you have like that calm today where it's all over and you're not one of these 40% of people that are procrastinating and having anxiety attacks.
Hopefully you already got a return.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're done.
Yeah, I read somewhere that like 31 million people have already gone to the Where's My Refund page and trying to see like, hey, where's my money? And good for you if that's you.
Sure.
Also, the 100th Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden special aired last night. Here's Billy Joel and some of his stage crew talking about how long they've been playing.
I've been playing a show here every single month.
Once a month for 10 years. It's the kind of thing that just doesn't happen.
I knew that this kind of thing was happening in Las Vegas, but would it work in New York?
First night of our Madison Square Garden, I have no idea how long this is going to go.
One of the best concerts I ever saw was Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden. It
on
was
my
phenomenal.
List for forever and never made it.
I mean, okay.
Recorded it
good.
Last night.
Yeah. But here's what one of the fans said.
I come every month. Tonight's his 100th show of his residency.
Come every month? You come every month to see Billy Joel? What's the band that you've seen the most in your life, Raven?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing. It would be like Metallica. I mean, Metallica's not embarrassing, but it would be like Metallica or like Motley Crue. And it was just not a nature of me buying all those tickets. I mean, we just did a lot of concerts when I was in rock radio for a long time. And, you know, you're going to all of them for free. My friend saw Billy Joel eight times at Madison during this run. I think all of them were there.
I would have to say that seeing Billy Joel semi-regular, not every month. I mean, I don't even know how you afford that.
Sure.
But... would be okay. Like it's such a nostalgia night. You go with your friends. You have a nice dinner. It's kind of a great night out.
It blows my mind from time to time. He'll play a song that I've never heard from Billy Joel, and I'm like, I thought that would be impossible because I'm a fan, and it's still there's songs that I don't know. So
if you want to feel better about yourself, I've seen Fuel 7 times.
Oh my gosh!
I don't even know why.
I feel so much better. How did that happen? Did you buy those?
It was like my early 20s. It was a weird time.
The lead vocalist was hot or something?
I don't know.
Seven times.
Too many times. When was the last time you got kicked out of somewhere?
I got kicked out of a concert before. Did you know the thing was, you know, the thing about getting kicked out of somewhere is if you're not actually the reason or the person that did something wrong, that's what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to explain it because it's all heated at that point already anyways.
Is it guilty by association, your friends?
No, what it was is somebody around us had started trouble with us. There were beers flying. I did none of it.
Mm.
It was just like beers started flying and it was like, hey, pushing back on them. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, get you out of here.
Yeah. Sometimes it's embarrassing to get kicked out of somewhere. Sometimes not so much. It just depends on the situation. But country star Chris Young, he was performing at a concert and someone in the crowd, like close to the front. So, you know, like it had to be a fan. Like, what are you doing in the fourth row if you're not a fan?
Yeah.
Threw a beer at him. So he threatened to fight him. Listen to this.
Nice.
So basically what it says, if you can't fight me in the parking lot and I'm 6'2", 235, stop throwing stuff.
Right. Like you wouldn't confront me in person, but right. Because I'm up here on stage, you feel like you can do anything.
And then the news reports were saying after.
During that moment, Chris Young asked for the individual's name to ban him from coming to any more of his shows.
Nice.
For life.
For life.
That's it. You made bad decision that night, and you know what? You don't get to see me live ever again in your life.
Oh,
you know what?
Good for him.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad call. That's interesting. He took it really personal, clearly.
Yeah, clearly. Exactly. I mean, if somebody throws a beer at you and you're performing, like that's something that's, you don't, that sticks with you, right?
It's disrespectful.
Yeah. I was recently thrown out of a Facebook moms group. I didn't even know because I'm so rarely on Facebook. Somebody took a screenshot of three people took screenshots.
It's funny. Somebody is more offended for you than you.
But, and then they sent it to me. They were like, this admin kicked you out because they said you're sourcing the page for information for your show.
Yeah. So you tell a story about something that happens on there somewhat.
Not even.
And all of a sudden you're a bad guy.
I was like, seriously?
Yeah.
But these Facebook admins, they take their jobs very, very seriously.
It's amazing. I've seen like shows about that.
Yeah.
Like it's amazing some of these people, the power they believe they wield.
I was like, all right, it's fine. I'll survive. I'll move on with my life. It'll be
okay. Sure?
I don't know.
They're
Raven.
Here to protect us. You know, I need those people to protect us. I wonder if they'd consider protecting me in the future.
Oh, 1-800-330-9999. If you ever got kicked out of somewhere, where was it?
Yes, I did, ma'am.
Where'd you get kicked out of?
My kid's school.
What happened?
Kicked out of the kid's school. That's a good one. All right. Give us the dirt. What happened?
My son got a kindergarten kid went over to my son and pushed my son. And my son grabbed him and threw him against the wall. And I cussed out the principal and told me to leave the building.
So, wait a minute. Just for clarification's sake, is your son also a kindergartner at the time, or is he actually 23 years old with a beard, and he picked up this 40-pound child and threw him 12 feet like a John Wick movie?
No, my son's only 9 years old.
Yeah. Yeah,
nine versus five, though.
Yeah, but you can't curse out the principal, except you're really mad.
I mean, you know, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, you know, that's Daddy Bear jumping in.
Yeah, I mean, you did what you had to do. Yeah. I forgive you.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I mean, did they ever let you back in?
Nah, right now I'm still kicked out.
When was the last time you actually got kicked out of somewhere? 1-800-330-9999. Sometimes it's embarrassing. Sometimes you're like proud of it. You wear like a badge of honor, right?
You're right. That's right. Look at me, because your system is corrupt, man.
Country star Chris Young was performing. Some guy in the audience threw a beer at him. He made the entire crowd turn against this guy, and then they threw him out and banned him for life.
The part that I really like is that banned for life thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's not enough to get you out of the building. It's write down his name, and we are going to carry that name with us every town we tour in for the rest of our lives.
Where did you get kicked out? 1-800-330-9999.
Yes, it was a senior trip, senior high school trip.
Oh, what happened?
Better than senior citizens. Okay, so what happened?
Senior high school trip to Washington, D.C. We get to the hotel in Washington, and my brother, who was based at Andrews Air Force Base, knew I was there, so he wanted to see me. So he came over from the base, and he wanted to show me a new pickup he got. I went out to the parking lot. We sat in his new truck, and we caught up. And then when I went back in, the principal was standing there. And the very next day, he sent me home on the train and the bus back to Long Island.
I mean, did they send you back with a chaperone or anything?
No, that was the odd thing. Like, I was a senior in high school, but I really hadn't traveled by myself.
Right. Like, I mean, I understand why you'd be in trouble. You leave the hotel. They have liability issues. They got to know where you are. So that's like a whole danger. But then... They put you solo on a bus and then send you on a train home. Seems a little counterproductive.
They're like, hope you survive.
Yeah, yeah. But you're no longer our problem.
Right.
Peace out.
Class on Monday, first period.
It was completely innocent, too. We just sat in the truck. We caught up, and I was back in the hotel in 10 minutes. I guess I broke the rule, but I didn't feel like I broke it enough to be sent home alone.
I mean, that's always the thing when you get kicked out of somewhere, right? The indignity.
Right. Right.
You're like, what? What?
Right.
And I've always made it a rule that you can never say, do you know who I am?
Well, because nobody knows who you are, Raven.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
What's the last place you were kicked out of?
Yes, my daughter at school.
What happened?
Well, there was a boy in the bus who used to beat her every day, and one day I said to her, beat him up. And she beat him, and they called me to the school, and I told the principal that I told her to defend herself, and she kicked me out of the office. Huh.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Then you sick your daughter on the principal.
Yeah.
Beat him up next.
No,
yeah. Just kidding.
No, but my dad always said the same thing. You never throw the first punch,
right?
But if somebody hits you, you defend yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you finish them. Yeah. Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai. Anna and Raven, when did you get kicked out of something?
Yes, this is a very embarrassing story.
What happened?
It was my son's first Pop Warner football game. He was 5 years old at the time. Me being the excited dad that I am, the very first play, he scores a touchdown. They call it back.
Oh, my gosh. And you lost your mind. Right.
I get so mad.
Right.
So they replay the play again. He scores another touchdown. They call that back.
Oh, my God.
I dropped the biggest F-bomb on the field, and they immediately told me to get off. Are they going to forfeit the game?
Oh, my gosh.
I was so... I had to take the walk of shame.
Yeah.
And this was over 10 years ago.
And you're still notorious for it, I'm sure.
Wait, but did they give him the touchdown?
Oh, man. I get so much grief for that every now and then. Oh, man.
I mean, they're calling him back. Like, what fouls? What penalties are they actually calling in Pop Warner?
Yeah, like, just ignore it. These kids are like 5 years old at the time.
Right.
I was 5 years old. I was so, man, I was so embarrassed.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I can understand how that happened. That was a slippery slope you were caught in. Right? It was a vortex.
Average American consumes 27 billion calories on the weekend.
I was going to say that.
Okay. I just made
not
that
sure
up.
About that.
If I say something with enough conviction, like people be like, wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that true?
No, 27 billion. Hmm. That seems a bit high. No. So this is the season where everybody's trying to get their summer bodies ready, right? But for some reason, on the weekends, no matter how hard you try during the week, you just go nuts.
Yeah, you let loose.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, all the things that you had to put up with throughout the week, you use those to justify the fact that you're going to get out of sorts for a time here. That's not the end of the world, as long as you don't do it all weekend long, I suppose.
Raven, producer John, producer Sean, pick the most unhealthiest meal you had over the weekend. Let's break down how many calories it was. Sean, why don't you go first?
All right, well, I had Wendy's at one point. So I feel like that might be the unhealthiest thing that I did eat all weekend. I got the Baconator meal. So the Baconator burger itself, not the Son of Baconator. No, I go big. I go big and go home with the burger.
Got it.
Yeah, so the burger was 970 calories.
Okay.
Forget the regular fries. I got the Baconator fries with it because, you know, I'm a fat boy at heart. Those were 490 calories.
Wow.
That's a lot of bacon.
A medium soda somehow is also 490 calories.
Yeah.
I was triple checking this to make sure that it's true. And apparently on Wendy's site, that is true.
That seems like a lot.
If you don't get diet, it's a lot of calories in soda.
And then their Frosty, a medium Frosty as well, was 393 calories for a grand total of 2,343 calories in one meal.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I mean, delicious, though.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a double Baconator, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have killed yourself in one meal. So at least you didn't do that. Right.
All right, John, give us your unhealthiest meal of the weekend.
All right, so I had Asian fusion, a little combination Chinese-Japanese food. Okay, so steak teriyaki at 454 calories.
Yeah.
Hibachi noodles with that at 219. Spicy tuna roll at 300. Philadelphia roll at 326 calories.
Two rolls.
And a shumai dumplings at 280 calories. And I thought I was going to take this home, but Sean, no, you got me beat. I only made it up to 1,579 calories.
Wow. All right. Yeah. I actually, much like John, I had Chinese food last night because I was too lazy to cook.
Okay.
And we ordered takeout, and I had an egg roll for 223 calories, chicken lo mein for 260 calories, General Tso's chicken, which turns out is the unhealthiest of the chicken. Meanwhile, I thought it was going to be all right. The entire container is 1578, but I only ate about half of it. So I'll give myself 700 calories for that.
Not half of 1578, but okay, great.
You know, like,
around.
Almost half I ate.
You know her math skills. Sure. Yeah. Okay, keep going.
Fortune cookies, only 30 calories. I feel like I should get a high five for that.
Basically a health food, right?
Right. Some brown rice, 197 calories. Diet Coke, 0 calories. No, we're not going to clap.
No applause. Nobody's applauding.
All right.
No.
So the grand total is 1,410 calories.
I mean, you're still low here.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
It was my sister's birthday on Friday. Went to Hibachi. Had the steak and shrimp. 1,058 calories with the noodles at this place. They're not one of these places that just gives you the rice or the noodles. They gave you both here.
Yeah,
the noodles is another 320 on there when they're done cooking it with all that, you know, sauce that they put on there. Cake. 400 calories. Coors Light, 105. Who knew Coors Light was only 105?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Coors Light. Light work, man.
Light work. Like, I mean, Ultra is like 98, and they talk like they're walking on water. It's 4 calories different. I don't know. Shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
And then two Cheetos with Sprite, 146 for the mixer there for the calories, for a grand total of 2,029 calories, which means that our big winner here today... Sean, I hope you make it walking home.
Yeah.
I mean, those calories.
Well, I will say what I've learned from this is that out of the three of you, I want to go out and eat with Raven because he knows how to eat.
You're the skinniest person in the room, and it makes me so angry.
Me too. Congratulations, Sean. Everybody over here running their mouth. 50-year-old grandmother of 12 broke the Guinness World Record for the longest plank. She planked for 4.5 hours.
Wow.
Here's Donna Jean Wilde, a teacher, talking about her accomplishment.
Whatever it is that you like, if it's sports or academics or music, arts, whatever it is, the more you practice, the better you get and the easier it becomes. And then you can help others around you.
Okay. John, Sean, Raven, which one of you think that you can plank for longer than 4.5 hours?
No, I got it.
Definitely,
are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Not me.
Raven was like, nope. The guys were like, yeah, no, I can do that.
I don't think anybody in this room can make it 4 minutes, personally, myself.
Easy.
But that's okay.
Good news. Everybody get in position. Let's go. We're going to time
sweet.
You. We're going to time you right now.
I respect you, Grandma. I just want to put that out there, Grandma.
The other guys do not. Not. I mean, 4.5 hours to plank. I don't know when's the last time you thought you could plank.
Yeah.
All right. On your mark. Here, let me set the timer. On your mark. Get set. Go.
Okay.
All right. So here's the plank.
Am I doing it right?
Raven, your hips are not even in the air. You have to lift higher.
You can't even see my hips.
How is he? You're shaking already. How is that even? I just set the clock.
I told you Grandma was tough.
It's 12 seconds. And first of all, Sean, you're sinking too. You got to lift your hips higher. Yeah.
Get butt up there, man.
And lift your chin.
Yeah.
No, lower, lower. That's too high. Yeah, all right. John is the only one that has proper form right now, for the record. Raven's lying on the floor. Raven did not. Raven, get up and get back to the board.
I had a long weekend.
Okay.
Right?
All right, so here we go. Raven was out at 13 seconds. Sean is struggling. Sean is out at 42 seconds.
13 is my lucky number.
All right. So John has won, but let him keep running his mouth to see if he can last 4.5 hours.
That's right. Light work.
No, don't tickle him. We want to see how long he can do it.
4.5 hours is light work.
Is that a real thing he said? He said 4.5 hours is light work.
Light work. John gets in a unprotected position on the floor, and the first thing that Sean thinks about is tickling him.
He's like, can I tickle him? Like, what grown man, the first thing they think of is let me tickle him.
You know what? If me and Raven had to fail, then I want him to fail too, okay? That's why.
That's, I mean, we are a team here. We are a team, so.
Fail as a team, everybody.
Yeah.
All right, John, not bad. You're at a minute 25 seconds. You only have 4 hours and 28
How's
minutes
his form?
Left to go.
How's his form?
His form is okay. He keeps readjusting his feet, which I'm not sure if you're allowed to do for the Guinness World Records, but I'll allow it here in the studio.
I mean, I think you got to be allowed to twitch your feet after 4 hours.
I don't know.
I mean, as long as his butt stays in the air, right?
Yeah.
As long as he
stays
upright.
That's some solid core strength, John. What happens if somebody threw something at you? Would you falter? You're getting a little bit shaky now. How are you feeling, John?
Throw it, Anna! I dare you to throw it!
You want me to throw something?
I can handle it! I have a pail over here of sanitizer wipes.
Then your Sharpies!
Okay.
John,
you missed!
You can't even see him.
Yeah, hold on. We're just throwing. Oh no, there's a Sharpie just on his back. All
we gotta
right,
roll
John.
Paper towels over here. This thing weighs at least a couple
Don't
pounds.
Don't throw the paper towels at him. All We're right. gonna hurt him. It's gonna All be right. a liability. When did this turn into now let's throw things at John?
The second he was down there undefended.
All right, so we'll report back. John, you keep planking, even though I think you're gonna go down soon. You have a collection of Sharpies on your back.
This break can only last so long.
Okay.
His neck is really red. All right, his neck is really, really red.
We're going to report how long he's going to go down. We'll report back coming up in a couple minutes. What's the number one thing you're going to throw away that belonged to your parents after they die? It sounds awful when you say it out loud, right?
I hate clutter.
Yeah, 1-800-330-9999. The number one thing that children throw away after their parents pass away is their photos. And when I heard that and read that, I was like, oh my gosh, how sad. Then I started thinking about the boxes upon boxes.
It's so many.
In my parents' basement.
It really is.
Of all the pictures. I don't even know where half these, I don't think they know where half these pictures came from.
I mean, serious note here. I mean, honestly, when somebody passes away, the biggest stuff is the burden that you feel with their objects because you can't just hold on to things forever that you're not going to use. And think about all those photos. You might not know half the people in them. You're certainly not going to plaster them all over your walls. That wouldn't be healthy to do that now.
Now, I know if you're under the age of 35, you don't remember a time where we would print out photos.
Right.
But that was a real thing. And there
was all we had.
It was boxes and boxes of them. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, man, God forbid something happened to my parents tomorrow. What would be the first thing that goes?
You know, if you didn't have those old photos of certain relatives back in the day, you wouldn't recognize them when they got off the plane. You wouldn't. I mean, think about that, how different that is. So your parents died, Anna. I'm very sad. I'm very upset for you about it. But they're young and healthy, so you're going to be fine. But if they did, first thing you're getting rid of.
Well, I would think like the pots and pans. Like, what am I going to do with my mom's pots and pans that she's been collecting? And it's not like she has like one of each pan. She's got like 100 of them.
Yeah.
She just keeps putting them in the basement when she buys new ones. I don't know what we're keeping them for. What are we keeping all these pots and pans for?
You know, but when you're there and you're sad, you're just like, I'm going to cook with mom's pan.
I don't know about
I'm going to do it.
But when my mother-in-law passed away, it felt very strange to go through her things and throw things away. But she had printouts of every email that had ever been sent to her. She did. And I remember being like, why does she print these all out?
It's the craziest thing ever, isn't it?
Yeah, and I remember throwing them away and feeling very awkward. I'm like, but what am I supposed to do with these printout of these emails?
There's nothing that you can do with those emails.
What are you throwing away?
But you know what? I mean, listen, I'm not going to do it. I've had to go through that. Parents have gone. I'm thinking about what's the first thing you're going to throw away on me? Jordan shows up at the house. I'm dead. Sad news. I'm dead. He's going to get rid of my DVDs right away because he has no desire to see Jaws again because, you know, he's watched it in my presence at least 100 times, too.
Why can't we get rid of that now? Why do we have to wait for you to be dead?
I don't know. And then any television that's probably less than 75 inches because he has one that's, like, massive and it's, like, 4 feet from his face. So he's not going to even be able to see any smaller ones.
Olivia, what's the first thing you throw away when your parents die?
You know what? This may sound ridiculous, but they have a bag under their sink with 8 gazillion plastic bags, and they're always trying to get me to take these stupid bags home. So that's going to be the first thing. I mean, the pipe underneath leaks on them. They just keep adding and adding, and there's tons of stuff in there, and nobody needs that many bags. So that'll be the easiest thing to get rid of.
That was a thing. Right?
Of course, like, it was. I mean,
it still is for a lot of people, right? The collection of the plastic bags. I mean, they even have like these holsters for them at this point.
Right.
You know what? The funny thing is that once most places stopped giving out bags, we stopped using them in my house. Like, we just have the reusable ones, just the recyclable ones.
Depending on where you live in the country, they still have plastic bags.
Can you imagine?
And, yeah. So when I visit some freedom of these places and like I go to the grocery store and I get my plastic bag, I'm not even going to lie, Lydia. I keep them. You use them as like your garbage liners in your bathrooms, and you don't have to buy your own.
But I get it. If you've got something in your parents' house that haunts you, right, you just like, yep, that's got to go.
Number one thing that people throw away after their parents pass away, their photos. And at first I was like, that's so sad. But then when you think about it, you're like, yeah, what am I going to do with these thousands of photos in all these boxes?
My dad had terrible T-shirts in every single color that there was. And he would vacation the same spots over and over, year after year after year. So he had to have like 10 different Cape Cod T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do with all those, Dad?
Wear them.
No.
Okay. 1-800-330-9999. First thing you're throwing away when your parents pass. What is it?
Their CD collection.
Yeah, that'd be right there next to my DVD collection.
Exactly.
Is it? Do they have Lil Kim and Bon Jovi? Because that was would be in my little collection.
I have no idea what they have. They're all just in a cabinet, stacked up. Who knows what they have? No one listens to them anymore.
Right.
I gotta go.
How old are your parents?
56.
Oh, yeah. Now, they might have the Lil Kim. They definitely have Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
100% have Bon Jovi. Yeah.
Liana, terrible news. I'm sorry. Your parents have passed. What's the first thing you're throwing away?
My dad is a very talented artist, but the first thing I'm getting rid of is I know he had to do nude portraits in college, and I'm actually looking for volunteers to sort the artwork. I'll keep everything else, but I don't want the nude portrait.
Yeah. Are they're nude self-portraits, or did they have models? Or both? You don't know.
Both. I'm more concerned about the self-portrait.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And nobody wants a naked picture of their parents.
I mean, if it was the 70s, you might think it was Bigfoot. So you have no way of knowing.
Oh, gosh. Disgusting.
It's too much. I'm going to ask somebody to go through it, and they'll give me the good ones, hopefully.
Yeah. Hey, Vicky, your parents just passed away. I'm sorry. It is tragic. But what's the first thing you're throwing out?
The million bags of yarn that my mom has collected over the years. Just in case somebody had a baby, she had to have every color and type.
It's true. My mom goes to work immediately knitting something before she even knows whether the baby's a boy or girl or anything like that. She just starts knitting.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah, that's amazing.
Yep, definitely.
Jay, first thing you're throwing away in your parents when they die?
Their ugly furniture. All of it still from the 70s.
I feel like parents held on to furniture so much longer than anybody our age ever even comes close to.
Because when they bought furniture when they were young, it was so expensive. I feel like that when you made a furniture purchase, you made it for like your whole life.
Listen, I took the free financing on my last mattress. It was ridiculously expensive. And you know what? After 10 years, still needed a new one.
They got the same couch as when I was growing up in my parents' den, and it's got all sorts of stuff growing in it, and they just don't care.
I mean, at my grandparents, the pads, like, it's brand new.
Remember how our grandparents used to have plastic on the couches?
Oh, yeah.
So I made a massive mistake where I bought a way too expensive dining room table, and the chairs have a fabric. And my husband said to me, "What fool are you that you spend all this money on these chairs, and it's white? It's like right and off white."
I mean,
he's
seriously.
Like, "We have a 5-year-old child." And I am not kidding. I haven't even owned it for 6 months. They are destroyed with food.
Yeah.
I am thinking about calling in the professionals to clean them and then having them covered in plastic.
I mean, why not, right?
Is that ridiculous?
It's like a chair sock. It's a chair sock.
I mean, what am I going to do? Just wrap in a saran wrap? Or can you professionally get them plastic wrapped? What did our grandparents do?
The custom cover. It used to come with the cover.
It did?
Yes, it used to come with the cover.
How come they don't do that anymore?
Well, we want to save the planets, recycling, seagulls, all that stuff, turtles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love turtles. I love seagulls. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But I mean, the sofa just, it went on. It had a life longer than some of their neighbors or friends.
Yeah. I'm going to call and be like, does any company still put plastic on seats and dining room tables?
Timu, where you at?
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Liz and Randy. Liz, what's going on?
Okay, so Randy lost his job. It happens, you know, and we're trying to work through it, but it's been really difficult. We've depleted our savings. He sold our car, and we have a piece of crap. He's continually wanting more. Now, I think he should go ask his parents for money. They're very wealthy, and they could really help us out. He wants me to sell my shoes, my designer bags. I mean, my mom gave me those bags, and my mom has amazing taste. The ones that she didn't give me, I bought with my own money. I think he needs to talk to his parents. I mean, I love him, but this is too much.
All right, how long have you been married?
5 years.
Randy, what's going on?
Yeah, so I lost my job. And I'm trying to handle the situation like a man, put the finances first. I downgraded my car, which I love that car. I got a car that's a little beat up, yes, but that's where we're at right now. And she wants me to go running to my parents. Now, I don't have the best relationship with my parents, and I know that we got things in the house that are still valuable that we can use to handle our financial situation, but she's refusing to be a team player and give up the things that she likes. She wants me to go and see my parents and tell them that I'm a failure and that I need them to bail me out.
Well, Liz, do you work?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
But my income's not enough for both of us, clearly.
All right, yeah.
It's a tough situation. Seems like it would be an easy answer to go ahead and ask his parents for the cash, who it sounds like would probably give you the money, Randy. But if I had to just take a leap here, you know, from your voice and your resistance to it, I'm imagining that comes with some strings.
Absolutely. That's like, they're going to be calling me. They're going to be asking me to come over and work at the house. They're going to be asking me to come by and watch my sister's kids. There's going to be all sorts of things that I'm going to have to do to earn that money. It's not just going to be a favor.
I mean, but to ask your wife to sell her handbags and sell her shoes, like, that to you is a better solution than just admitting to your parents that you need help?
Well, we're partners. This is our financial situation. I thought we were in this together. But she doesn't want to give anything on her end. She wants me to embarrass myself by asking my parents for money, even though I'm a grown man.
You're not going to embarrass yourself. It's your parents. That's what they're there for, to help us, to help you. They love you. I know it's weird between you guys sometimes, but seriously, and even if I did sell all my stuff, what then? What if you still don't have a job? You need to ask them for money.
Yeah, I mean, some of that stuff, too, would appreciate, and then you take yourself out of that, you know, moving forward, and as you said, there's a personal connection. I mean, Randy, trying to hear what you're saying, I've been in tough spots before myself, but, you know, when you do things like give up the car, and I'm sure, you know, you rolled back on cable and streaming services and all those different things, all the little things that we can do around the house, it's not like Liz hasn't been living through those things also. All the stuff besides, you know, being a guaranteed babysitter for your nieces or nephews or whatever sounds okay. I mean, to me, it's more the kind of emotional toll. Like, if your parents are going to make you feel low, then that's not worth it sometimes.
Exactly.
But you're shooting yourself in the foot for your pride is...
I mean, I don't want my parents to see me as like a little kid who needs something from them.
Well, I don't know if that's a big enough reason for me, but maybe I'm crazy, Anna.
Would you ask your parents for help financially, or do you think Liz is not being a team player and she should start selling her valuables?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
If your spouse lost his job, how much is it on you to give up the items that you love to help make ends meet? So what's going on with Liz and Randy? Randy lost his job. They've been married 5 years. He's been going through it all. He hasn't been able to find something new. He sold his car. He did his stuff. And now he says to Liz, well, you need to like start selling your purses. You have all these high-end purses and shoes. That could really help. But Liz has got a real problem with that.
Yeah, Liz says, listen, plenty of these were gifts from my mom. The other ones I bought with my own cash. She's like, you know, your parents are well-to-do. Why don't you ask your parents for a favor on this? They could help us out. It wouldn't be that big of a deal. He feels like his parents are going to hold it over his head and make him feel responsible. You know, there's all sorts of reasons people lose their jobs, right? So they could have been downsized or whatever. It's not like, you know, necessarily Randy went out and did something terribly wrong or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a tough scenario for everybody, and it certainly is emotional.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Taylor, whose side are you on?
I'm on Liz's side because I don't understand why she should have to give up the thing she works hard for because he lost his job. And with him going out and constantly selling things, it seems like he hasn't even bothered trying to find a new job.
Yeah, well, I think he hasn't been able to find the job he wants.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, he lost a job. What job that was, I'm not really sure. But it sounds like, right, in his industry, it's just not something that he's been able to pick up on. I don't know if I agree with, you know, it's all on him. They're married. I mean, but if he has another outlet before she starts giving away personal items or selling personal items of hers that were a gift from her family or whatever, you know, that's probably a better avenue.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. If your spouse loses their job, how much is it on you to give up your items to help make ends meet? That's what's going on with Liz and Randy. They've been married 5 years. Randy lost his job. He sold his car. They downgraded the car. He did all his things. He hasn't been able to find a job that he wants yet. And he thinks that Liz should start helping out and sell her purses. She's got a lot of designer purses. She's got a lot of designer shoes. He's like, what do you need all that for? Let's get rid of some of it. That's like big money right there.
Yeah, Liz says, though, you should just ask your parents for some help, right? His parents are well-to-do. He feels like, though, if he does that, they're going to have all sorts of different chores and questions for him, and he just doesn't want to deal with that situation. I mean, I get it. It can be embarrassing to reach out to people for help. On the other hand, if you don't have a lot of other solutions, I don't know what your choices are, right? He just feels alone on it. That's the main thing. Is Randy is saying, like, I feel like I've done what I can, and she's not willing to help me.
But has he really? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Alisa, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side, but not for nothing. Walmart is always hiring. So is McDonald's. There is no excuse for no job, even when you're looking. There is no excuse for unemployment. If you lose your job, it's not an excuse to not try. I understand he might be trying to get gainful employment in the field that he was, but in order to pay the bills, you do what you do. You do what you got to do for your family. You get a job anywhere that'll hire you and suck it up and deal with it. Be a man.
I mean, I think that there's reasoning to all that you're saying, but you're saying you do what you got to do, and you're saying I'm not going to do anything too. If you're not going to sell you're not going to sell any of your stuff, give up anything on your end, you're not doing what you might have to do either.
Well, I think there's sacrifices to be made on both sides, but I think that he needs to try harder. He really does.
Mary, what do you think about this? Whose side are you on today?
I think he should just go out and get a job. There's plenty of jobs out there, even if it's not what he wants. If he wants to support the two of them, and I would do that. Forget going to the parents. He's a grown man.
So she gets to keep the bags, though.
Yeah, and he needs to go bartend for a while.
Yeah.
I agree.
And he can find something.
Yeah,
you know,
it may not be the career you want, but there's something to be said. Like, there's always waiting jobs. There's always restaurant jobs. Go get something for the meantime.
Hey, Jim, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
Well, I'm on the wife's side. I think that the husband is making it a big emotional thing. He should ask them for a loan and not feel that there's any favors or he has to do little things to pay them back. Just strictly ask for a loan. Just to explain that he lost his job and he could use the help right now and he'll pay them back. They want interest, he could give them interest, but it should be just strictly financial.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Liz, our audience agreed with you today. Randy, if you're the one that doesn't have the work and you're not finding the work that you find to be suitable, it's not fair to ask her to give up things that she inherited while she's working. You can go to your parents or you can take a job that's temporary for the time being to help make ends meet.
Well, okay, so I won. Yes. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. Maybe I'm being selfish. Maybe I need to just swallow my pride and talk to my parents. That's tough, man. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm not looking at this the right way.
I mean, it's not a fun place to be, right? And I'm sure it feels like every day is like, you know, what's next? Nothing more can happen. But, you know, remember, you have two healthy kidneys. So, good luck. I'm just playing. It could always be worse. That's what you have to remind yourself is that there's somebody else out there that's going through exactly what you're going through right now, and somebody that's going through something worse.
That's what we should
do
from now on. We should just compare ourselves if we have working kidneys. All right. If you have a problem too, send an email couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,000. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains April 19th through the 22nd. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. All right, Monique, you ready to play today?
Yes.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
You got it, Monique. Good luck.
All right.
Thank you.
Here we go. Raven's walking out of the studio. That door is going to close, and he's not going to be able to hear us because we're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. Raven will come back in. Same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Yes.
Number 1. Jewel may have confirmed that she and Kevin Costner are dating after months of speculation. Kevin Costner recently played John Dutton on what TV series?
Yellowstone.
Number 2, Taylor Swift's music is back on TikTok ahead of the release of her next album, The Tortured Poets Department, that's going to be out later this week. Her lucky number is also her birth date. It's December what?
13.
What is it?
11.
11? Okay.
No.
All right, number 3, okay. Golden Bachelor couple Jerry Turner and Teresa Nist are divorcing after 3 months of marriage. The Bachelor has sued the same blogger twice for revealing the winner. What blogger is that?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry, Monique. You sound defeated. Number 4. You should get this one. The 100th Billy Joel Madison Square Garden special aired last night. The opening lyrics to Piano Man, what time is it on a Saturday?
I don't know.
I mean, Monique. And number 5, many parents say they cried watching the new extended Bluey episode. It was about them selling what?
Mm-hmm.
Monique, are you all right, Monique?
No.
No. All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Monique started great, and she only got one right, and then she progressively got sadder and sadder.
All right, Monique. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's $1,000. Maybe they're really hard. Maybe you could still win. Here we go.
Number one. Jewel may have confirmed that she and Kevin Costner are dating after months
you're not
of speculation.
Win. I can tell you right now.
Kevin Costner recently played John Dutton on what TV series?
Yellowstone.
That's right. Number two. Taylor Swift's music is back on TikTok ahead of the release of her next album, The Tortured Poets Department, comes out later this week. Her lucky number is also her birth date. It's December what?
It's the 13th.
13th is correct. Number three, Golden Bachelor couple Jerry Turner and Teresa Nisser divorcing after 3 months of marriage.
It makes me so sad, I gotta be honest.
I mean,
with you.
Raven, give up on The Bachelor.
Stop it. Stop it right now with your terrible heart.
The Bachelor has sued the same blogger twice for revealing the winner. Right. What blogger is that?
Is that Reality Steve?
Reality Steve is correct. Number four, the 100th Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden special aired last night. In the opening lyrics to Piano Man, what time is it on a Saturday?
It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah.
And number five, many parents said they cried watching the new extended Bluey episode that was just released. It's about them selling what?
Probably selling their house.
Their house.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Monique. You beat you 5-1 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
You know, my name is Monique, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,100 tomorrow, Anna.